Thank you. I understand that applause is not for us. It's for God's glory because everything we do is because of him. Susan, I don't know. She's amazing. I miss her sometimes when I'm on the road and she can't come along and sing. But thank you so much for using your gifts and to Matt and the orchestra. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, your gift will make a way for you and put you in the presence of great men. God has done that in this church. He's used the gifts of so many to put them in the presence of others so that they might take the gospel to all the world. That's what we're going to talk about today. But first, thanks for coming. I mean, there was no bacon this morning, and yet, the smell of the Spirit brought you in. So my good friend would promise you a cup of coffee. If you pay attention and answer the right question, maybe you'll get a side of bacon today. I don't know what we'll do. We'll figure something out. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever read this blog or little website called the Babylon Bee. Yeah, those of you who have are laughing. It's awesome because it's the Christian fake news. We have, you know, CNN and what's the other one? Fox News and all the other ones. But we've got Christian fake news. Here's the deal that's great about it. It always touches on some truth, and then they kind of sting you with their story. If you've not gone to the Babylon Bee, go to their website, babylonbee.com. Read the plethora of articles. I'm just going to read you a couple titles this morning to tease you, but they are so awesome. They crack me up. There you go. Man who gives motivational speech each Sunday, still referring to self as pastor. Think about what's going on in so many of our churches today. Oh, that's a good one. Home Bible study leader asks if anyone else has any blatant heresy they'd like to share. Well, you know, this is how I think it. Yeah, okay, that's good what you think. I love this one. Entire city engulfed in artificial fog after megachurch leaves doors open. I have had to speak at one of those places. And, I mean, you're so flashed out and fogged out. By the time you get up there, you don't know what's going on. Man accepts Jesus as his personal butler. That's a great article. You ought to read. And finally, I hope you get this. This one cracked me up. College student tithes ramen. Oh, well, some great articles there to look into. If you haven't been in college in a while, ramen is all you got. You know what I'm saying? What would you do if you were with a team in India and you had to get to the airport, but on that road to the airport, all along the side of the road, are terrorists with Molotov cocktails, AK-47s, and you've got to take your team down that road. What do you do? What do you do if you're on your way to Mosul, Iraq, where we were going a few months ago? And you're driving down roads that are just blown apart, and you see alongside each road people putting red sticks in the ground where there are mines. What do you do? What do you do if you're ministering in Africa, and your Jeep pulls up on a group of people, you don't know what it is, you get out, you start taking pictures, and suddenly a witch doctor comes running toward you with a spear in his hands? What do you do? All of these things have happened to our folks. And we've responded by doing one thing, praying. Now, full disclosure, with the India group, I did hire two trucks full of soldiers with AK-47s to go in front of us and behind us, okay? But we prayed first, and then we used discernment and wisdom, okay? That's okay, too. That's one of the things we need to do here, too. We need to pray, but we need to use discernment. We had better firepower. We got to the airport. By the way, the African chief, my friend Igor, who's going to preach here on October 1st at our missions conference, our friend Igor simply said, in the name of Jesus, and the witch doctor hit the dirt. And for 30 minutes, Igor shared the gospel, and these people came to hear about Christ, and they thought he was dead. But after 30 minutes, when Igor was done, he got up. God works in amazing ways when we pray in the power of his name. And that's what I want to share about today. Our key scripture is in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 5. And if you stand as we read God's word, because the reason I'm up here in a big high pulpit is not because I deserve to be up here, but God's word deserves to be lifted up. So we lift it up before you this morning. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 5. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, praying for others, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we might live peacefully, quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. And I pray this morning your word will be clear and will cut to our hearts. Remind us of who we are and what we're to do as we pray for your kingdom to come, for your will to be done in our lives and in this world. Heavenly Father, we need your power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to overcome the evil of this world. We need your power just to get us through each day. So come to us this morning, we pray. Fill us with your Spirit. Empower us to do the work you've called us each to do. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So our scripture this morning, Paul is calling us to pray. And I love how he says, pray for all people. Yes, pray for kings and people in authority. Pray for your president. Pray for the leadership. Do you think our leaders need prayer today? Oh, hallelujah. They do, but leaders of this city, of this state, of this nation, of this world need our prayers. They need to be seeking God. And so we're to pray for all peoples, but pray for the leaders. Because the desire of God's heart and the desire of our heart needs to be that all people would be saved, that all people would come to know Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says in this passage. And Canadian, let me read from Canadian pastor Oswald Smith says this, if God wills the evangelism of the world, and if you refuse to pray and support missions, then you are opposed to the will of God. I like this guy, and he's a Presbyterian too. I like him. If you're not praying for the world, then you're opposed to God's mission. Man, that's convicting to me. And you know, sometimes we think, you know, we've heard about prayer, talked about for the last several weeks. This is our theme right now. And it's the key to everything we do in the church. But sometimes we feel like we're just not heard. Our prayers aren't heard. People don't listen to us. If you ever want to talk to the person in charge, you never can. I mean, it would certainly be rare for you to be able to talk to the president of the United States. You can't even talk to the president of Walmart. And sometimes you can't even talk to a friend or your spouse like you'd want to. But here's what I love about this. We can talk to the creator of the universe anytime we want to. Johnny Cash said it well. I talk to Jesus every day. No secretary ever tells me he's been called away. I talk to Jesus every day. Isn't that awesome to think about? That you have access to the throne of glory, to the Lord himself, to the creator God himself, through prayer, through talking to him. So today I want to talk about how God empowers us, how he empowers the church to go forth with the mission of the church through prayer. It's that dunamis power. Sharon and I just went to see a movie, and it was about a woman who was empowered with strength, and she saved the world. But she only saved him for a short time. It wasn't eternal. Her God was not our God. Her God was Zeus. But she was a Wonder Woman. I will tell you that. She really was. But God has given us this dynamite, dunamis power he talks about in his word to go into the world and to change lives, not just for the day, not to help him for the day, but for eternity. That is amazing. If you think of the power that you have, that God has given to you through the power of prayer, it's amazing. You guys are wonder women and men. You really are. So as we continue, I want to talk about missions and outreach in this church, our outreach to this city, to this nation, and to the world. There are a few guys who, on the subject of prayer and missions, who have said it better than I could, and let me just share a couple words. Soren Kierkegaard said, the function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who prays. God desires us to pray, but he knows that as we talk to him, as we seek his face, it changes us. A.B. Simpson said, prayer is the mighty engine that's needed to move missionary work. And Henry Martin says, the Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. The nearer we get to him through prayer and the word, the more intensely missionary we become. So those are great words of men, but let's go back to God's word again. Let's look at some more scripture that talks about why we should be praying, how we should be praying. In Ephesians 6, we read this, take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. You know, I love reading in that passage in Ephesians. It talks about the armor that we put on, and I see so many people running around with a helmet of salvation on. They're spiritual streakers. If they don't have everything else on, the breast, you got that one, Ted. I'm glad you caught on. If they don't have that breastplate of righteousness and all the other things, their feet shod in the gospel, and that weapon, the word of God, and praying at all times, Yeah, you're saved and you're happy and you're good, but you're not being effective in the world without putting on the power of prayer. It's a command that we do that. Luke 10:2, the harvest is plentiful. This was our theme last year in missions. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Pray earnestly, intensely, sincerely. We need to reach the lost. And so that's what Jesus told his guys at the very end. In Acts 1:8, we hear, you will receive power. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. And this power, it's like prayer ignites, it's like a match to a firecracker. I mean, you light it, it goes out. It's a good analogy because the fire of prayer that lights this little missile, you know what the word missions comes from? The word missus, which is the same word missile comes from. It goes out into the world, and it has a big impact. If it doesn't go off, it's a dud, right? We are to be lit with the power of the Holy Spirit to go out in prayer and to change the world. The guys waited for 10 days in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit came. After 10 days, fire and the mighty wind came roaring through. And in that next few days, they changed, literally changed the world. Thousands came to Christ because of the power of their prayer. But millions and billions have come to Christ because they prayed and they waited for the Holy Spirit to come. E.M. Bounds said, prayer is the handmaiden of missions. The success of all real missionary effort is dependent on prayer. The life and spirit of missions are the life and spirit of prayer. I mean, amen, we can go home. I mean, that sums it, it really is. But no, you're not going home yet, Carol. I got a few more things to say, if that's okay. How do we pray? How should we pray? You know, it's intimidating when you see great men of God, and I'm not pointing to myself here, but men of God who come up and give eloquent, wonderful speeches and prayers, and you say to yourself, I can't even come close. I had a friend who just would not even pray publicly. I just can't do it. God is not looking for your drama. He's not looking for your eloquence. He's not looking for your fine words. He's looking for your heart. There's a story about a Shakespearean actor, a great Shakespearean actor. He'd do his acting at the end of every show, before he left the stage, he would recite the 23rd Psalm. And he was good. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Just dramatic. The crowd got on their feet. They went crazy. He was unbelievable. He was so good. Very intimidating. Except one concert, a young man was there. And he said to the actor as he was concluding his act, may I say the 23rd Psalm this evening? How dare you? But yes, you may. I guess they wanted to prove him a fool, that he could not equate himself to this great, eloquent speaker. The young man got up on the stage, and with his head down, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the auditorium was silent, except for the sounds of weeping. And the great actor said to the stage manager, why is everyone so moved? The stage manager said, well, sir, you know the words, but he knows the shepherd. And that's the difference in our prayers. When we come before God, we can have all the eloquent words you want to have. You can know a lot of things. But when all those answers aren't enough, there's Jesus. We need to know the shepherd. We need to pray from our heart. Prayer is the foundation of everything we do in this church, of the mission of this church. You know, I'm talking about missions. You might think I'm referring to what I do as the missions pastor here, but I'm referring to the church. When people ask me, what is the mission budget of Central Church? I tell them $4 million. Because that's our budget. That's amazing. But that's, we're all called to mission, no matter what we're called to do and where we're called to go. And we need to understand that it's not always easy. Missions is a battlefield. Ian Bounds in his book, the purpose for prayer missions. His prayer is a battlefield of the church, its citadel, the scene of heroic and unearthly conflicts. The prayer closet is the base of supplies for the Christian and the church. All spiritual results and graces are much advanced by prayer. John Piper teaches a whole sermon on the battle, that we're at war, and we can only fight fire with fire, the power of prayer. And we don't think we're big enough. We don't think we're good enough. We don't think we're mighty enough. Well, my girlfriend and I get to see, for visitors, that's my wife, just so you know. Same person, 38 years. We went to see another movie recently called Dunkirk. Great movie. But guess what? That battle wasn't won because of the giant battleships that came in to save the guys. There's a place for the giant battleships. There's a place for bigness. There's a place for greatness. But that battle was won because of the little ships that came in, one by one, to save. I'm looking at a lot of little ships out here, and God has called us to save the world. One by one, we go out. It's not by our strength. It's by His strength. And that's what I want to remind us this morning when we talk about prayer. You pray, you say what's in your heart to God, but God is going to give the increase. God is going to make it happen. So don't worry about you. Missionary work begins with prayer. I preached a couple months ago about Acts 13 when Paul and Barnabas went out. It started because the church laid hands on them and prayed for them, just as we prayed for our missionaries this morning. We are to be in prayer for those going out in His name to fight the good fight. Let me share some personal stories how I have seen prayer directly. It's one thing to talk about prayer and the impact it's going to have on our lives, but it's another thing to just witness it every day in your life. I get a lot of opportunities because of my travels and because of what I do to witness God at work, but you do too. If you read the paper, if you watch the news, if you go shopping, if you're just out in the world, there's a lot of opportunities for you to pray. God calls us to pray without ceasing. You know what that means? To me, it's not like you got to be down, you know, doing your thing. Everywhere, every person you see, when I see you, Mary, I pray for you because I love you. When I see people around, I saw a lady the other day. She was in the rain, no umbrella, waiting for a bus. The Lord said to me, I'm driving down the street, pray for her, and a matter of fact, give her your umbrella. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. I must be something. No, I drove by her, and my car was convicted and made a U-turn. And I came back and I said, ma'am, I hope you're having a good day. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Lord bless you. Here's an umbrella. And I drove off. Maybe God doesn't call you to do that all the time. I know there's many times that I've just kept driving. So I'm not saying, oh, what a great guy Randy is. Can you believe he stopped? Trust me, there's more times than not that I kept driving. But I'm praying God continues to convict me in my heart, that I pray for the world, and I do practical, tangible things as I pray for the world. So here are some things that God did that I was able to be a part of. I was in China a few years ago with Doug Graham, one of our young guys, pastors. Doug and I were there just to meet with our missionaries. We have about 60 disciples. They're young men and women who have house churches. And of course, we pray for our trip, and we kind of set up our itinerary, and we think we have it planned out, and then God has another plan. So Rose, one of the young ladies, we called her Rose because, honestly, I couldn't have pronounced her name, but it's Rose. And she said, hey, can you guys come to my little village? My parents and grandparents have heard that I've come to follow Christ. They've never heard of Jesus. They think I'm in some cult. They're a little worried. Could you just come and chat? Yeah, you know, it's not on our schedule, but yeah, I guess we could do it, you know. We're Presbyterians, everything in order. But we took our van to this little, about an hour and a half out of the main city, to this little rice village. And as Doug and I got there, and Doug's a big guy, like myself, two big white guys walking through this village, they had not only never had Americans in their village, they'd never had foreigners. So here we are in a village of about 300 folks, walking down the street, and it was like the Pied Pipers. All these kids and all these people start gathering around us. I'm carrying my guitar, so that's interesting too. I don't know if they knew it was a guitar or a machine gun. I don't know what they thought, but anyway. We get to Grandpa's house, and there is the shrine, you know, built up to the Buddha or whatever. What are they, Hindu, Buddha? Well, yeah, Buddha. Buddha shrine. And he's got his, like, oranges and money on the altar to give to Buddha, who had failed to pick them up, by the way. I just noticed that he didn't get them. But, you know, and he's got names of the dead written on the wall in black. There's a red thing with all this. And you're walking into a pretty dark, physically and spiritually dark place. We sit down. And we just start talking about who we are, where we're from, sharing a little bit about the Lord. I get out my guitar and play. He brings me his Chinese flute-like thing. It's a flute, but with a reed in it, like a nasty reed too. But anyway, I played it for him. awfulest thing I've ever, I mean, I thought, oh, I'm pretty bad, you play it. So he played it, and of course, this was the same thing. But we had fun. Grandpa and I are cracking up. We're having fun. We're getting to know people and love people. You know what I mean? That's part of what we do. And then we talked about Jesus and who he was and if he'd seen changes in Ruth's life. And he said, yeah, actually, she's changed quite a bit. She loves people. She takes care of everything. And I sang Amazing Grace. I told him what that song was about. And we prayed. And of course, Doug and I had prayed going in. We prayed going out. We prayed with the family. Prayer was just all around this place. When we left, Ruth said thank you. The family said thank you. We didn't know. You know, what was our purpose there, really? Well, we found out. It was to open a door. And so Grandpa called the missionary and said, when the big man was singing, I guess that was me, he said, I felt this strange peace in my house that I've never felt. Of course, we know that's the Holy Spirit. But he's just saying, this is really strange. He said, so I talked to Ruth, and I've invited her and her friends to come back to the village, and they can share about this Jesus that they know. Within 3 months, over a third of that village came to Christ. That's what the power of prayer does. It opens doors. Sometimes we're just there to till the ground. Other people come and plant the seed. God gives the increase. So your prayers, and here's the thing I know about. When I'm on a mission trip with any of our teams, this church is praying. Not just the Thursday morning and Thursday night and the staff and all the others who have their regular prayer times, but I know people are praying. The women of the church pray when I'm on the road. They know there's a lot of stuff to pray for. Well, they know me. That's why they pray a lot. But one other quick story. This one is amazing. Well, they're all amazing. I could go on, but somebody came up after the service. What about that time we went on the trip? And I said, yeah, I know. There's so many. We just got back from Iraq, and that's where we discovered the great minefields that we were driving through. We were hearing what we thought were cars backfiring, and the general says, those are bombs, but they're not that close, so don't worry. But we're in Iraq, and Igor Yaremchuk, who's going to be our speaker here, and he's the one who faced the witch doctor, knocked him to the ground. He'll be our speaker October 1st for Mission Sunday. You need to be here. Igor is going to go with me to Iraq. He likes to go on several trips a year with me to go back to his college. He's the president of Irpin University and Seminary. And he likes to tell the stories. And so we said, meet us. We'll meet in England and go together so we're all safe. He missed his connection. He didn't get to the connection in England. So I said, oh, great. Igor, this Russian friend of mine, coming to Iraq for his first time by himself. This will be fantastic. So, of course, we prayed right away. And I said, Igor, here's what you do. Go to, customs and do your thing. Igor got to customs in Iraq with the wrong passport. And that happens because some of us have dual passports because we travel different times and have to get visas. And the one that we had filed for him, he brought the wrong one. Igor, travel with both of them. Anyway, whatever. Then they ask him, Igor, are you here on invitation of the Ministry of Religion of Iraq? He said, no, I am not. Igor, yes, you were. He knows as a Russian, he's not about to tell people he's there for ministry. That's just his nature. He knows that he shouldn't say that. So he said, no. Well, his visa said at the top of it, by invitation of the ministry. So wrong passport, doesn't know what his visa says. You're not getting in. I get a call from Igor. Randy, they won't let me in. I have to rebook a trip to go back to Ukraine. I said, oh, brother. I said, I am so sorry. I said, let me see if I can send somebody. I was meeting with some guys in the parliament, big hitter guys, One of the parliament guys agreed to go down to the airport. Well, he wasn't the right guy. The right guy was out of town. For 20 hours, Igor sat in a room before his flight back to Ukraine. He sat in a room with another guy at the airport. We prayed and we prayed, but I said, God has his purpose for everything. I don't know what it is. So does God answer our prayers? Well, yeah, maybe he needed Igor to be home. It's frustrating. I come down to the lobby the next morning at my hotel, and there sits Igor. I said, dude. I said, brata, как дела? He said, well, you prayed, didn't you? I said, yeah, we prayed. I said, what happened? He said, I don't know. They just said, go. So here I am. I said, dude, God has got a plan. God has got a plan, because there's no way you're going to get by. You're in Iraq with the wrong passport and not even the visa. Come on. So we work and praise the Lord together for the next week. He's teaching, he's preaching. I mean, God's using him mightily, but I'm still kind of saying, there's got to be something here. Why did Igor make it in here at the last minute? The last 4 days we went to Jordan. And in Jordan we're with a refugee camp of Syrian kids, and they're a fantastic group of kids. Igor and I are talking. A man comes over. He doesn't know Igor and I, but he knows Jamal, our missionary. And he says, Jamal, can you come to my home and pray for a lady? She's a Muslim lady who wants to know Christ. We go to the house. We pray for her. She comes to Christ. The host of the house who invited us, again, who does not know who's in the room with Jamal, says, you know, I wish my wife could come to know Jesus like this. He says, well, you're a believer. How come your wife? She doesn't speak English and she doesn't speak Arabic. Really? Why? She's Ukrainian. I said, oh, really? May I introduce you to my friend, Dr. Igor Yaremchuk? God's purpose was revealed and the prayers were answered. He went into the kitchen where she was preparing lunch, shared with her for about 20, 30 minutes. She came to Christ. And there's a picture on our mission board downstairs of her and Igor sitting on the floor together. Folks, God answers prayers in the most bizarre, unusual ways. And sometimes he answers them very simply and easily. Sometimes it's a struggle and we get answers we don't like, but we look back and we see what he's done. I was very disappointed when I heard that Igor wasn't going to make it in. But you know what? God had a different plan. And as we prayed, as we sought his face, God's will was done. There's a reason we pray. Friends, prayer makes a difference. That dunamis power, that dynamite power of the Holy Spirit working in your hearts can change lives. It can change the course of history. It is amazing. A lot of horrific things are happening around this world, particularly in the Middle East, but even here. I was just back from England and Paris and France and Hungary. A lot of tough stuff going on in the world. We need to be on our knees praying. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters who are there, but we need to pray that God's will be done. If my people who are called by my name will pray. That passage in 2 Chronicles, we know we usually when we have a prayer meeting here at the church with the 20, 30 people that gather, we recite that verse, but it's an important verse. If my people will humble themselves and pray, then you're going to see great things from God. We've seen it in Africa. George Kindergore, dozens of churches have been planted, thousands of lives coming to Christ because he was faithful and because of the prayers of this church and the support of this church. We've seen it in Ukraine and Russia. Again, dozens of church plants that we've helped with. In India, every year we plant a new church. It's not just your financial giving. It's because people are on their knees praying that God will move in the hearts of men and of women. And he's done that through the years. Great leaders, William Carey, Elizabeth Elliot, Amy Carmichael, Hudson Taylor, Michael Miller, Lucy Wynn, the Wrens, those who've gone out with our support but with our prayers as the foundation of their ministry, they've made a difference. Let me finish it by saying, how do we pray? How do we become this great mission outreach into the world? First of all, we pray with a heart for the lost. You've got to pray like it's your own child that's drowning. You've got to have a heart and a passion for the lost. You've got to pray with complete obedience. Spiritual growth comes with obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. To pray in obedience to God, you've got to pray with a simple faith. It doesn't have to be the big, complicated, dramatic things I'm saying that we talked about, this Shakespearean actor. You just talk to God and pray with a simple faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Pray in a spirit of unity. I think that's been one of the things in this church that's held us back. Even though God has been faithful and moved us along, we haven't been unified as the body of Christ, and he calls us to pray in a spirit of unity. Just like when they came together in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were united. They had focus. They knew they were to go out and to change the world in the power of the Holy Spirit. Central Church, we need to have that same focus, that same feeling in our hearts to go out into the world. We pray in Jesus' name. It's the only name to pray in, that his purposes might be fulfilled in our lives and in the world. There's power in the name of Jesus. The world knows it. There's a reason atheists and agnostics and people are afraid of the name of God being put up anywhere in the name of Jesus. If they really didn't believe it existed, they wouldn't fear something they don't believe in. But the name of Jesus is powerful. The name of Jesus changes things. And pray with the heart of God, with discernment, the heart of God. I have a whole sermon I'd love to preach one day on discernment. What does it mean to know the will of God? Some of us have general discernment, but some have the gift of discernment to understand where God wants you to go and to move. We as a church need to pray with discernment and with the heart of God. Focus not on ourselves, but focused on the world that we need to reach, focused on making a difference. We have wonderful things, and we've done a lot of great things here, but our focus needs to be on the world. The words we sang earlier, Susan and I pray you'll be our eyes. Watch us where we go. Help us to be wise in the times when we don't know. Let this be our prayer, lest we lose our way. Lead us to a place. Guide us with your grace. Let this be our prayer today at Central Church, that we will be led by the Spirit of God to make a difference in this city and in this nation and around the world. And before I close, let me say this. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, your praying doesn't make a lot of difference. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except by me. To know Jesus, to know that name of Jesus and what it means, to know of this Christ who died for you, we're going to celebrate this table in just a moment. What does it mean that one came and shed his blood and broke his body for you and I? When you come to know who that Jesus is, it changes your life. I talked to a young man after the last service who came forward several months ago and said he was agnostic but interested. He gave his life to Christ, and he's still asking questions. God is changing his heart. It makes a difference. Jesus is doing that here at Central Church. You don't have to go to Iraq or Africa or Ukraine. Jesus is changing hearts here. If you don't know Jesus and you want to know him, he wants to know. He knows you. He just wants you to get to know him. Talk to me. Talk to one of our pastors or elders. Talk to many people in these pews who know and love Jesus Christ, and they'll tell you what it means. That makes all the difference, to know who he is, because then when you pray, and you pray in Jesus' name, you pray with power, and that's going to make a difference. And I want to see that in this church. I want to see that in your lives, and I pray that is your prayer as well. Let's pray together. Father God, we earnestly pray that you'll send your Spirit to fall upon us and to fill us. We need your power to accomplish the work that you've called us to do, to go into the world with the gospel, to make disciples. And Lord, I pray that we won't be content just to enjoy our church experience, but help us to step out in faith and to reach out into Clayton, into St. Louis, the state of Missouri, throughout the United States, to the ends of the world. And Lord, I do pray again that those who don't know you this morning, they'll come to trust you today. We thank you for all that you've done because of the faithful prayers of this church community over the years. And we look forward to so many great things that you're going to do in the coming years. Remind us that it truly is all about you and not us, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. We ask all this name in the name of the greatest missionary of all, Jesus Christ. Amen.